20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. We've got a great show. We're going to be doing some outside-of-the-box transactions that Green Bay could do this offseason. How realistic they are? Well, I'll leave that up to you, but I'll explain my thought process as we get closer to that. Couple things before we get there. Shout out, first of all, to Large Charles for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast All-Pro member. Large Charles, appreciate you a ton. Thank you so much for signing up. You can check out those memberships over on the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. Also, remember, we do have Pack-A-Day clothing now, packadaypodcast.com. You can see it below on the YouTube channel as well, but just go over to packadaypodcast.com. We've got a bunch of different options for you. You can check that out. From a Packers standpoint, we did have our first three confirmed interviewees for the open special teams coordinator position. I'll be honest up front, none of these are super exciting to me, but we'll go over them nonetheless. The first one is Cameron Acord, which is a 39-year-old special teams assistant and coordinator previously. In 2018 and 2019, he was an assistant special teams coordinator for the Patriots, was then promoted from 2020 to 2023 to their primary special teams coordinator. Then in 2024, was the Giants assistant special teams coordinator, and he is still there today. He has been kept by John Harbaugh, even though there's a new regime there. Harbaugh kept him on as the assistant special teams coordinator. He had a really good year in New England when he was the special teams coordinator in 2020. Ever since then, it's kind of been downhill. He's fine. Nothing super flashy about it. Like I said, not super enticed by any of these. I hope they open up the candidates even more, but that's number one. Number two, Kyle Wilbur, 36 years old. He was the Packers special teams quality control coach in 2023 and 2024. And then he has been the Saints assistant special teams coach in 2025 and is still in that role today. Has attachments to Rich Bisaccia. Again, obviously worked with Bisaccia in Green Bay in 2023 and 2024. Played under him in the past as well. So there's the connection there. He would be a very inexperienced candidate, but a younger, more up-and-coming candidate that has worked in Green Bay with Rich Bisaccia in the past. And then Tom McMahon, 56 years old, actually took over for Rich Bisaccia when Bisaccia left the Raiders. He was the Falcons assistant special teams coach in 2007 and 2008, Rams special teams coordinator in 2009, 2010, and 2011, Chiefs special teams coordinator in 2012, Colts special teams coordinator 2013 to 2017, Broncos special teams coordinator 2018 to 2021, Raiders special teams coordinator 2022 up until middle of last year when he was fired by head coach Pete Carroll at the time, and he is now looking for a position. He has been a special teams coordinator basically since 2009. He has a long track record in this league. This feels very Rich Bisaccia-like, meaning he is a long-standing, mostly respected special teams coordinator who just came from the Raiders, and it almost seems like a worse version of Rich Bisaccia, if I'm being honest, but he does have a ton of experience. If you're looking for the most experienced candidate, Tom McMahon is probably it. Most young up and coming, Kyle Wilbur, and somewhere in the middle is Cameron Acord. Like I said, none of them are super enticing to me off the top after looking into them a little bit. Bill Huber has done such an amazing job covering all three of these candidates over on Packers on SI. Highly recommend checking that out if you want more detail on it. I will go into great detail once they actually hire one. We went over the other day of kind of my, I guess I would say, you know, kind of leader in the clubhouse, if we're being honest. That is Jet Modkins from the Detroit Lions. He's kind of the guy I hope that they go after, but no news of an interview as of yet outside of these three who they do have interviews set up with, or maybe they've completed them virtually already. But those are the first three confirmed by Bill Huber. That brings us to our main topic for today. And that main topic, again, is outside of the box options to upgrade this team this offseason. What have we been talking about all offseason long? Three positions primarily, right? Defensive line, basically defensive tackle, maybe even nose tackle if you wanted to go a little bit more granular. Cornerback and offensive line. Those are the three positions that feel like they are in significant need of upgrade. Offensive line was nowhere near good enough a year ago. Now Sean Ryan's an unrestricted free agent. Rashid Walker's an unrestricted free agent. You don't really have a center at the moment. You're likely cutting Elgton Jenkins. So there's some holes there. Defensive tackle, after trading away Kenny Clark and letting TJ Slayton walk in free agency last year, they were left really thin at defensive tackle and nose tackle specifically, or run-stopping tackle, however you want to view it. Devontae Wyatt got hurt throughout the year, and then you were left with a very bare minimum, you know, defensive tackle room that just wasn't up to par. I thought Colby Wood and Carl Brooks, those guys battled about as much as they could given the circumstances, but it just wasn't good enough. They'll get Wyatt back, but they still feel like they need at least one more player to really, you know, solidify probably a starting defensive tackle spot. And then corner, as much as Brian Gutekunst maybe doesn't want to say it, that it needs a makeover. I don't really trust Keyshawn Nixon as a starter. I don't really trust Carrington Valentine as a starter. I don't really trust Nate Hobbs as a starter. I like Javon Bullard in the slot. I thought he took a significant step a year ago, but you're still very thin at that position. You have plenty of backups if those guys stay, but I still feel like you could use a significant upgrade at those spots. And I think as a lot of people have been looking at this, they've been saying, all right, well, you know, how can they get a corner? How can they get a nose tackle? How can they get an offensive lineman? And as we've been talking about all offseason, they have limited resources. They do have enough salary cap space. We went through our offseason simulation and we went through a version of it where they got Monteric Brown at corner. They got A'shaun Robinson at defensive tackle and they re-signed Sean Ryan along the offensive line. They obviously made some other moves. They had draft picks as well, but they were able to get a corner that was going to help the corner room, a defensive tackle that was going to help the defensive tackle room. They also grabbed one in the third round. They grabbed, a defensive back as well. And then on the offensive line, again, re-signing Sean Ryan. I think we made a couple other deals there too. But we tried to upgrade all three so that they'd be in a better position so that you didn't have a weak spot. And I think there's some logic in that. They somehow, some way need to upgrade all three of those spots. But again, it's going to be hard to do so given the limited draft capital, meaning no first round pick, and given the overall limited resources. Can they make a move or two here or there? Absolutely. But can they, you know, have an offseason where they're signing an Adrian Amos, a Billy Turner, a Za'Darius Smith, and a Preston Smith? No. Can they have one even probably where they're signing a Nate Hobbs and an Aaron Banks? No, they don't probably have those type of resources. Probably one big swing as we've been talking about, and then maybe a mid-tier or a little smaller size swing. And then you can maybe add some vet, you know, minimum type guys as well if you want, but that's probably kind of what you're looking at. So today we're going to be looking at maybe some different ways of going about this. Couple things about this. This is, I don't want to say fan fiction. The odds of any of the things that I'm about to tell you or go over today happening are very, very slim, almost none. All right. But if I were how I like to view things, and you can say it's ridiculous or whatever, is how I would kind of do this if I were in the general manager seat. And what I would want to do is the conversation we're about to have, or the, I guess, episode, talk, whatever you want to call it, that we're about to have, is what I would want to do with my assistants and having a thought exercise of, hey, these are things that we could do instead of getting a high-priced, you know, one either corner defensive tackle or offensive lineman, and then trying to, you know, fill the gaps with some minimum signings. Let's think about it that way, right? When we did that exercise, we got Monteric Brown at corner. Let me ask you this. Monteric Brown comes in at corner. It's a pretty big free agent signing. Do you feel like that fixes corner? My answer is no. I like Monteric Brown a lot. I think he'd be a really good fit. I would love if they signed him. Do I think that that fixes corner for Green Bay of like, well, there we go. Corner's fixed. Now we're good to go. No, I don't believe that. Do I feel like A'shaun Robinson has now fixed defensive tackle? No, I don't feel that way. I feel like he's maybe a stopgap that can help a little bit, but I don't feel great still. I feel like there's still a ways to go to maybe upgrade that spot to where I would ultimately like it to be. Do I feel like Sean Ryan bringing him back now fixed our offense? No, of course not. You lost Rashid Walker. You cut Elgton Jenkins. And now just bringing back Sean Ryan doesn't, to me, do enough to, you know, to make your offensive line that was not good enough a year ago better. You only lost. You didn't gain anything. You can argue that Belton's a year older, that Morgan's in his right spot and a year older, that those two can progress, that Sean Ryan in a full year of center could get better, that Zach Tom would be healthy and Aaron Banks, if healthy, and when he was healthy, played better a year ago, maybe could do that again. You could certainly make those arguments, but I don't feel great about offensive line still. And so with that line of thinking, did you help corner, defensive tackle, and offensive line? You did. And you could musical chairs this as much as you want, right? Maybe you signed Linderbaum, and maybe that helped the offensive line. But then maybe it's A'shaun Robinson in a cheaper corner. But do I still feel in that situation like unbelievable about the offensive line? No. Do I feel good about the defensive tackle? No. Do I feel good about corner? Certainly not. So you can, again, musical chairs how you want to utilize those resources. But the truth is, it's hard to fill all of them. And if you try to fill all of them, you might end up in a situation where you helped all three of them a little, but you didn't actually solve anything. I am also somebody that tends to lean towards the extreme. I loved when Green Bay said, we have an edge rusher problem, and so we're going to get Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Rashawn Gary all in one fell swoop. Problem solved. We have a problem at safety, so we're going to get Darnell Savage in the first round and signed Adrian Amos. Problem mostly solved. We have a problem at safety, so we're going to get Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard and Evan Williams and Ketan Oladapo. Problem solved. We, you know, could use some young running backs. All right. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Devontae Mays. Now, Mays didn't work out, but you get my point. They aggressively attacked it and they were able to fill it. So they've done this in different occasions of, you know, remade a specific room on the team or went aggressively to upgrade it. And it has fixed more often than not that issue. And when they've taken more half measures or just tried to put, you know, a little ointment on it or a Band-Aid, it hasn't worked quite as much. So I like that extreme side. I would rather take something and fix it all the way and go all the way in and make something amazing rather than these little stop gaps that maybe make it a little better, but doesn't actually solve the problem. I also have direct and to me, just firm free agency philosophy. And I think what Green Bay has done in the Gutekunst era would say that what I'm about to tell you rings true. I want, in free agency, top-tier free agents. I don't really want middle-tier guys because I feel like when you sign the good-ish players or average-ish players to bigger deals, it ends up backfiring on you. But when you go a little bit more big-game hunting and say, hey, instead of bringing in two mid-tier free agents, we're going to sign a big-time free agent, that tends to work out better. They're big free agent signings. The one that you could tell right away, all right, those are great players that they went out and got. Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Adrian Amos. You could probably put Jimmy Graham in that as well, which did not work out. But more often than not, when they said, we want somebody that's really good and we're going to go aggressively to get what we think is a great player at that position, they've been right far more often than not. And when they've gone in a little bit more of the unknown or the middle tier free agency, whether it's been guys like Aaron Banks, you could argue they were more on the top tier side and maybe they just got that one wrong. But I think you could still say that was a bit of a gamble and more of a mid tier guard, right? He's never shown to be a Pro Bowl or all pro caliber guard or anything like that. So Aaron Banks, Nate Hobbs, whether you want to go back to Christian Kirksey, whether it was a Sammy Watkins or Devin Funchess, although certainly lower in the salary stratosphere, even I would argue Billy Turner, when they have been in that level of free agency, it has not gone well. And I think that's where teams more often than not get things wrong is when they fish in that pond for small to mid-tier free agents and they give them bigger contracts. That's where things usually go wrong. I would rather pay a lot of money for a really good player. And so take last year, for instance, okay? They signed Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs to a pretty significant amount of money, right? Now look at Milton Williams. Now, you could argue they didn't really need a three technique and somebody like Milton Williams. That's fine, whatever. But Milton was really good for New England. And now imagine I could tell you, hey, you can have Milton Williams or Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. It's a no-brainer, even though they don't necessarily have that as a need. Milton Williams would have been the far better transaction for them. And if you combine those two salaries, you easily could have afforded basically anybody that you wanted on the free agent market. So I'd rather, instead of taking, again, two, you know, mid-tier guys and trying to fix multiple positions, go big game hunting and get one of the best players and fix that position. So that is one of my philosophies, and that's what I'm going to be kind of going over today. So do I expect any of this to necessarily happen? No, but if I were GM and I were sitting in that seat, I would want to talk through these things to say, hey, does this maybe make more sense than trying to fill all of these holes all at once? We'll be right back. Hey friends, it's time to shoot your shot on Prize Picks and get $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's right, Prize Picks is now giving you $50 in lineups when you sign up and play your first $5 lineup. Now Prize Picks makes every dunk, every dime, and every board that much more exciting. So don't miss this chance to get started on America's number one app for sports picks. And yes, Prize Picks is available here in Wisconsin. I've been picking more or less every week and have never looked back. Make sure to check if Prize Picks is available in your area today, and it probably is. They're available in 50 states. Now, Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. This week, I'm going with some basketball and hockey. Tyrese Maxey, Connor McDavid, Cade Cunningham, all three are going to be in my lineups this week. I can't wait. And guess what? Baseball season is going to be here before you know it as well. So it's time to join millions of users and sign up for America's number one sports picks app. And Prize Picks puts their users first, so all withdrawals are fast and secure. So download that Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. So the first one, go all in on the defensive line. All right. This one's really close as to whether or not you could even make it happen, but I crunched the numbers and I think you could. When we did our if you didn't view it yet, I highly recommend checking it out. When we did our offseason simulation, go view that. What we did is we signed Monterrick Brown, A'shaun Robinson. We re-signed Sean Ryan. There were a couple other moves in there. If you didn't do any of those three, you didn't re-sign Sean Ryan, you didn't sign Monterrick Brown, and you did not sign A'shaun Robinson, you would have enough money, theoretically. You maybe need to make one more tweak here or there to the roster, but theoretically, you would have the money to go out and sign Trey Hendrickson. All right, let's just play this out. Again, these are they going to be a little bit fantastic? Yes, meaning a little bit out there? Yes, but just hear me out for a second. I would also, in this situation, as we've talked about before, go out and try to give the second round pick for Tavondre Sweat from the Tennessee Titans, who I don't think is going to fit their system. I think a second round pick is probably fair, a second round pick in Carl Brooks. And imagine on defense, your defensive line is now Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, Tavondre Sweat, and Devontae Wyatt. And now you have on passing downs, LVN to come in for Tavondre Sweat as another pass rush option. You would be nuclear on your defensive front. You would be absolutely nuclear. You are not stopping that defensive front, period, end of story. So you can stack the box on early downs. Plus you have Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat, by the way, you give up that second round pick. He's making like $2 million, not even like $1.5 million, $2 million, somewhere in there. You're not gaining any major salary. He still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. You can make that work. Now, you've done nothing at corner and you've done nothing on the offensive line and you have no more money to spend. And you've given up your second round pick. Corner's probably going to have to stay as is. Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Nate Hobbs, Kamal Haddon, Bo Melton, and maybe a third round pick. But you probably need that third round pick to actually upgrade your offensive line. You have no upgrades on the offensive line. Right now, Jacob Monk, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom as your five along the offensive line with Travis Glover. And not much else. You're going to have to utilize some draft picks to probably get a center who can compete and some depth along the line. Maybe you bring back Darian Kennard in that instance. You're not going to fix offensive line and you're not going to fix corner, but my God, have you given yourself a absolutely nuclear defensive front? Is that good enough overall as a team? I don't know. Maybe if you get Stoutland as an offensive line coach and he can fix some of your younger guys and make that group better, maybe you can fix that. And do I feel like my corner group can be kind of crappy if I've got Trey Hendrickson, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, and Micah Parsons rushing the passer with Tavondre Sweat in there on early downs? Oh, hell yeah. I absolutely feel like I can get away with that. So my first option is, and maybe it can't be Trey Hendrickson. Maybe it's Jalen Phillips from the Philadelphia Eagles, who they brought over from the Dolphins. Maybe it's that next tier defensive end. But maybe I'm going to go all in and say, what I really want is our defensive line to be dominant. That is the next step. Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs and the weapons, they'll figure out the offensive side of the ball. They always have. They always will. They always put up points, right? Even when that offensive line struggled a year ago, they did not struggle to put up points far more often than not. But they couldn't always stop people. And now you've got a defensive line that is absolutely massive. You're going to have Edgerrin Cooper still behind it. You're probably either playing McDuffie or Hopper. Your corners are weak, but you've got Bullard in the slot, McKinney and Evan Williams at safety. You can win with that defense simply because of the defensive line. Do I feel like that brings me closer to a Super Bowl than what, you know, maybe the Monteric Brown, A'shaun Robinson, and Sean Ryan coming back to? Yeah, I do. What's the difference between Sean Ryan and, you know, Jacob Monk in a third round pick? Maybe not that great. Maybe it's not that much. What's the difference between, you know, Monteric Brown and Carrington Valentine? Maybe it's not that great. But what's the difference between a defensive line that sort of is status quo, maybe with A'shaun Robinson, or now having Trey Hendrickson and Tavondre Sweat? Pretty freaking phenomenal. It's a massive difference. So am I willing to sacrifice that corner and offensive line so I can have a nuclear level defensive front? I think my answer is yes. Now, whether or not Hendrickson's going to go for like 33 mil per year, 35 mil per year. It's going to be a crazy contract. Okay. Probably 3 years, 115, 105 million, something like that. Do I think they could pull it off? I do. Is it going to be tight? Absolutely. Is it maybe their best overall option? I don't know. Is it going to happen? No. But this would be a conversation I'd be having with my assistants and saying, hey, is this something that actually gives us a supercharge towards a Super Bowl? And I think, again, maybe the answer is yes. Maybe we can find different ways to fix center and the offensive line, and maybe we can find different ways to help out corner a little bit with no money. No money to spend, but maybe we can find ways. That's outside the box number one. Outside the box number two is go all in on the offensive line. And the thinking here is, all right, on the offensive line, or maybe just as a better view of this, we've got Jordan Love, who has been unstoppable when he is given time. Josh Jacobs, when you give him run blocking, has been unbelievable. And if you give Jordan Love time, he's going to have Tucker Kraft at tight end, Josh Jacobs at running back, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks probably playing in there, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson. You have unbelievable weapons, and you are going to go out and put up a ton of points. Furthermore, if Jordan is healthy, he's been really freaking good. And he is a huge investment, so protect him first and foremost. On the defensive line, I still feel like when everyone's healthy, because of Micah Parsons, that Micah, LVN, Devontae Wyatt, and X player are going to be able to get after the quarterback more often than not. Mostly due to Micah, but LVN looked good at the end of the year and the beginning of the year when he was healthy. Wyatt has been good when he's been healthy. And no matter who you're putting with that trio, I feel like they're going to be able to get after the quarterback. And at corner, if those guys can get after the quarterback, and really when Micah was healthy, you didn't see the deficiencies in Keyshawn and Carrington and Hobbs as much because those guys were getting home up front. And you have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe he can figure out some things as well. New passing game coordinator and Bobby Babich. Maybe he can figure some things out. We can maybe make that work, but what we can't make work is the team as a whole if we can't win on the offensive line. So I need to add two pieces. We're probably stuck with Aaron Banks. And I think, again, he showed at the end of the year he was better. Jordan Morgan, you're not going to find a better fix at tackle for anything that's reasonable than probably Jordan Morgan. So Jordan Morgan's going to have to be your left tackle. Zach Tom's your right tackle. Aaron Banks is probably your left guard. But how can we make those other two spots really, really good so we can solidify it as much as we possibly can? You need a center. Connor McGovern, Cade Mays, Tyler Linderbaum would be the first ones that you would probably look at there. And then I want to add a guard to it too. I'm not just going to settle for Anthony Belton. I want to give him more time, make him a top backup rather than the guy that's immediately going to start. Whether that is bringing back Sean Ryan, maybe a 35-year-old Kevin Zeitler who still played really well a season ago, David Edwards from Buffalo who played well in front of Josh Allen last year. Those are probably the main ones. Maybe you take another flyer at Elgton Jenkins and say, hey, we're going to put you back at guard and we're going to see if we can maybe make that work this year. I don't think that's the right thing to do, but I need two legitimately good players at center and probably right guard to really solidify this. And if I get a good player at center, let's say a Connor McGovern, a good player at right guard, let's say a David Edwards, and then at right tackle, I've got Zach Tom, left guard, I've got Aaron Banks, and left tackle, I've got Jordan Morgan. Now you've got Anthony Belton, Travis Glover, Jacob Monk as your backups. I feel so much better about that. Defensive line, maybe we're going to draft a nose tackle in the second or third round. Corner, we're going to draft a corner in the second or third round, and I can still figure out a way. But I feel so much better about my offensive line. If my offensive line is good, my quarterback's amazing. If my offensive line good is my running back and Josh Jacobs is going to be fantastic. All my weapons are now going to eat. We're going to be putting up 28, 31 points per game with a good offensive line. It cures your red zone issues. It cures your third in shorts, your fourth in shorts, your running game, your overall efficiency. It cures a ton. And I can't stress enough how I think somebody like a Connor McGovern would be a huge upgrade at center. And somebody like a David Edwards, I think, would be a huge upgrade over what we saw from, you know, Travis Glover over the second half of the year. Or even, even if you have to sign a 35-year-old Kevin Zeitler to a one-year deal, I'd be open to all of it. First, fix your offensive line, figure out the rest, let your offense cook. That's all in option number two, outside the box option number two. Number three, as you can imagine, is let's just fix corner. We talked about him on Tarik Brown. Maybe it's a Reek Woolen. Maybe it's a Jamel Dean. Pick your poison, but we're not doing one. We're doing two. See you later, Nate Hobbs. See you later, Keyshawn Nixon. Maybe even see you later, Carrington Valentine. We're going to get off of all three of those contracts. And in as much as Goody said, hey, we don't need a makeover, guess what? It's makeover time. And we're going to go out and get a Monteric Brown and a Reek Woolen. And we're going to get some bigger corners and we're going to get some tall corners and they're going to play on the outside. Maybe it's not Reek Woolen. Maybe it's Jamel Dean. Pick your two top end corners. We're going to get both of them. And again, you're not going to be able to do anything probably in free agency at nose tackle. You're probably not going to be able to do much on the offensive line, but we are making a really good corner room and we are fixing that flat out. No questions asked. And when you put Reek Woolen and Monteric Brown on the outside with Javon Bullard in the slot, Evan Williams, Xavier McKinney at safety, I feel great about that. And again, when you get guys back healthy and it's Micah, LVN, Devontae White, I still feel pretty darn good about that front. Edge Cooper's at linebacker. I feel like we're cooking a little bit more. You have corners that can actually win on the outside and you can play multiple different ways with those type of corners. I like that a lot. It's probably my third of these options. I'd like to win in the trenches first. So offensive line or defensive line, one of the ones that we mentioned already, would probably be ones that I'd like a little bit more. But if you're going to fix corner, dude, fix it. Don't just go halfway. Don't just add a mid-tier corner. Go out and actually fix it. This would be the way to do that. Another one is probably less sexy, but I do feel like off-ball linebacker is becoming more and more and more important every year. And this is another example of, hey, don't go mid-tier shopping. Get one of the best players on the market. Go get Devin Lloyd from Jacksonville, who's an unrestricted free agent. Pair him with Edgerrin Cooper. Lloyd can do everything. He's instinctive. He can stop the run. He's good in pass coverage. He can get sideline to sideline. You pair him with Edgerrin Cooper, you've got arguably the best linebacker duo in football. Maybe it's top two, top three, top five, whatever, but it's in that conversation. And what teams are now asking their linebackers to do and what other teams are trying to get their linebackers off their spot and to be batting coverage and to put them in really difficult situations, to have a tandem like that, that you can really trust, that can do everything that you ask of them, that would be a supercharged linebacker room. And that's one where you could probably sign Lloyd and you might still have some leftover, probably to get a Sean Ryan at center to still help your offensive line, or to get an A'shaun Robinson or something similar along defensive tackle, or to get a Rasul Douglas or something like that at corner to still help corner. You're not probably screwed everywhere, but it's not one of those positions that is of dire need, but it does add a legitimate bona fide stud to your team. And that's one of the tougher things to do, unless you're going to get a Linderbaum, or unless, again, you do go crazy and get a Trey Hendrickson. It's tough to find a player that you can actually probably afford that can is just an absolute stud. And Devin Lloyd is that. And he and Edgerrin Cooper would be really, really fun together. Really, really fun. So that's option number four. We'll be right back. All right, I have a couple other off-the-wall ones just for funsies. We've talked about a couple of these before, so some of these are going to be repeats of things I've talked about, but we have discussed the idea of getting younger at running back. And here's the situation. What if the cost of Breece Hall or a Kenneth Walker isn't that much more than what you're paying Josh Jacobs? What I mean is Josh Jacobs, by releasing him, you save $8.3 million in salary cap space this year, and you save $11.5 million in cash. What if Breece Hall or Kenneth Walker go for 3 years, $36 million. It probably is more, but it's a pretty deep running back class in the draft, and it's a pretty big run or a pretty deep running back class in free agency, and running backs usually don't go for a ton. What if it's 3 years, 36, 12 mil per year? You're set to pay $11.5 million in cash to Josh Jacobs this year. So for the same amount, on average, you go from a 28-year-old running back in Josh Jacobs to either a Kenneth Walker, who's going to turn 26 in October, or Breece Hall, who turns 25 in May. You turn back the clock a few years at the running back position. Get some fresher legs. That's not nothing. And by the way, if you're looking, again, it's just PFF, whatever you want to count it as. Kenneth Walker was PFF's number one graded running back last year with a 91.4 grade and was fantastic in the playoffs for Seattle. Josh Jacobs was an 85.8. Breece Hall was an 83.5. They're all similarly graded. In fact, Walker was best and Jacobs was just a smidge ahead of Breece Hall, who was in a crappiest of crappy situations with the Jets. Imagine what Breece Hall would do in Green Bay. I'm not saying that it is going to end up similar, but if one of those players does go for around 3 years, 36 at about 12 mil per year, when you're about to pay $11.5 million to Josh Jacobs, I like Josh Jacobs. I think he's really important to the locker room and the culture. I think if he gets blocking, he's going to be as good as pretty much almost any running back in the league still. But getting 3 years or 2.5 years younger at the running back position is not nothing. And Josh Jacobs did take a step back, whether you want to view it as offensive line play or Jacobs or anything else. You don't want to start seeing that decline. And he was a little bit more injured this past year as well, a little bit more banged up. So if you want to get younger, that would be a way to go if, and I say if, the prices are somewhat similar. We've talked about a couple other trades before. Jaden Reed for Keanu Benton is one I've discussed. I still think that makes some sense. Steelers are going to need a slot receiver, whether it's Aaron Rodgers back or whether it's anybody else at quarterback. If it's a worse quarterback, you even need more help at wide receiver. Jaden Reed would give them a legitimate slot weapon. Kelvin Austin is an unrestricted free agent. And I think they have the depth at defensive tackle. You can never have enough, but Benton is somebody that I think would fit really, really well in Green Bay with Jonathan Gannon and give them a bigger body defensive tackle. Benton could make some sense. That's one we've talked about in the past. And I talked about a Jaden Reed for Jerrion Jones type trade for Jacksonville. Jerrion Jones is a corner who is kind of stuck right now, kind of on that second line. It depends on what they do at a couple spots. So if they bring back Greg Newsome or Monteric Brown at corner, but if they do, remember, we just heard that Travis Hunter is going to play corner full-time and wide receiver part-time. Jerrion Jones might still be stuck on that second line. And I think he's a capable starter in this league. I think, in fact, he'd be Green Bay's best corner right away, but I want to expand that trade. What about a deal that sends Jaden Reed a corner? They can have their pick. You can pick Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, or Nate Hobbs, whichever one you want. So Reed, a corner, your second round pick this year, and a conditional 2027 draft pick, maybe a sixth, fifth round pick, for Jerrion Jones and Brian Thomas Jr. Thomas Jr. kind of fell out of favor in Jacksonville a season ago. He is a perfect fit in Matt LaFleur's offense with Jordan Love, and it gives you Christian Watson insurance. And he's got more years of team control than what Jaden Reed does. Reed's only got 1 year left. Thomas has got two and then a fifth year option. So you get younger at wide receiver, but you get a big body outside wide receiver. Imagine Watson and Brian Thomas Jr. screaming down the field on the outside as two big physical downhill wide receivers that can get open down the field. That is so fun. And now you've got Matthew Golden and Dontavian Wicks still that can play in the slot. Plus you can play Watson in the slot. You have so many options. And that is a really, really fun. And I will just say, Brian Thomas Jr. is a better fit in Matt LaFleur's offense than what Jaden Reed is too. And if Christian Watson does go down, which he tends to do, you still have that Christian Watson wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. Plus you still have Matthew Golden and Dontavian Wicks and Tucker Kraft, Josh Jacobs, etc. And again, you get more years of team control and it's the same cost. So you get arguably better at wide receiver, which is really fun. You get a starter at corner, which is really fun. And you get off of one of your corners that is probably going to save you some cap space. Yes, you move on from Jaden Reed, but you're probably going to lose him next offseason anyway. And yes, it sucks giving up a second round pick and maybe a conditional pick, but getting a Brian Thomas Jr. and a starting caliber corner isn't nothing. That's a really, really fun potential trade. Still doesn't help your defensive tackle room, But you didn't. Here's the other thing. Here's why this is important. You in this trade upgraded corner and wide receiver. You didn't spend any money yet. Brian Thomas Jr. and Jerrion Jones are still on rookie contracts, super, super cheap. So yes, you had to give up your second, but you actually saved money in this deal, especially by getting off one of those corners. And now you still can go out and bring in an offensive lineman or bring in a defensive tackle or even bring in a corner too if you want. And you can still do those things because you still have the free agent money to spend. So yeah, sucks giving up a second, but I think it's worth it for getting a Jerrion Jones and a Brian Thomas Jr. Maybe they say no to that. Jaden Reed isn't a perfect fit because they do have Jacoby Myers as well as Parker Washington, both who can play in the slot, but both of them have played more snaps on the outside than they have in the slot. So if they're okay with Myers, Parker Washington, and Jaden Reed, that could be still a direction that they go in. They change out corners and they get a very valuable second round pick and a conditional pick in 2027 as well. Those are my off the wall ideas. Are any of them going to happen? No. Is it a fun Friday conversation? Absolutely. Like I said, are these the conversations I would want to be having? And we might get to the conclusion where we brainstorm these as a group and people say, nah, you know what? Trey Hendrickson's too old and it's just going to cost too much money. And giving up a second as well for Tavondre Sweat. That's too much put in the defensive line. We already have Wyatt. We already have Parsons. We already have LVN. We need to diversify our resources. We're going to cross that one off. Okay. And we might get to offensive line and say, listen, we already gave Zach Tom a huge extension. We paid Aaron Banks a bunch of money. Now giving a bunch of money to a center and a guard, it's too much money in one spot. We need to cross that one off as well. It's just not feasible. Okay. Corner, yes, I like getting a couple corners and remaking that room. It's something we should consider, but maybe we just do one of those and not both, and then maybe we try to get another one in the draft, and that actually makes more sense. Okay, cross off that one. Really like Devin Lloyd, but it's not at the position biggest of need. We're going to cross off that one. Maybe we call Jacksonville about Brian Thomas Jr. and Jerrion Jones, and they just say, no, we're not interested. Okay, cross off that one. Maybe Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall both go for 15, 16, 17 mil per year. And they get way more than you expect. And therefore, that one's crossed off the list. And maybe you just go through these and say, and maybe you call Pittsburgh and say, will you trade Keanu Benton for Jaden Reed? And they say, no, defensive tackle is more valuable to us. Cross that one off. Maybe you go through all of these and you brainstorm and just none of them end up making sense and you have to go in a different direction. Okay, that's awesome. We need to exhaust all avenues to make this team the best that it possibly is. That's all this was. Fun Friday conversation. Is it going to lead in? You know, not that it would anyway, but is it actually going to happen, come to fruition? No, it's not. But it's a fun Friday conversation nonetheless. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did. These were fun ones to think about. And it does give you some ideas of if you could supercharge one thing, whether it be corner, linebacker, offensive line, defensive line, what would it be? And would it be worth it to not be able to address some of those other positions, but knowing that you could absolutely, completely fix one of your biggest issues? Interesting thought process. Let me know what you think in the comments. That's all I got for you today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelsinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, and Large Charles. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Actually, I'll see you guys hopefully today. Happy hour, 3 p.m. Central. Hope to see you guys there over on the YouTube channel. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.